I would like to speak to you this evening from Psalm 23. Psalm 23, I'm just going to read the entire psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've never spoken on Psalm 23, to my knowledge, but recently I've had the opportunity to spend some time in reading it and studying it, and I've really enjoyed it. And I hope tonight that you will enjoy going through this lovely psalm again, and that it might be a blessing and an encouragement to you. It's probably safe to say that Psalm 23 is one of the most widely known scripture passages in the Bible. To many, it is the universal psalm, the chief psalm, the pearl of psalms. It is always very interesting to see where a copy of Psalm 23 will end up. Hospitals and homes and prisons. It is a psalm that is read at funerals. Sometimes people that are not really that acquainted with the scriptures, but someone will stand and read Psalm 23. Let me give you just a brief overview of Psalm 23. Although it's the best known scripture passage that employs the shepherd metaphor to speak of God, this figure of speech appears throughout the Bible. In Genesis 48:15, Jacob or Israel referred to God as his shepherd. The prophet Isaiah said, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." It's Isaiah 40, verse 11. The shepherd gets a name and a face in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." John 10, verse 11. Hebrews 13, 20 speaks of Jesus as that great shepherd of the sheep. Peter called him the chief shepherd, 1 Peter 5, 4. And Revelation 7, 17 says, "The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd." In eastern lands, the shepherd goes before his flock. He leads them. They know his voice, and they follow him. So the sheep in this beautiful psalm, the flock of the Lord, are those who follow him. Jesus said, as we read in John 10, 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." At the beginning of a new year, could we, like David, express with full confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd? I always appreciate word pictures, and I wonder if I could paint a word picture for you. David, all alone. The day has ended. A simple meal has concluded. Sheep have just now quietly settled, as all their needs have been met. The cool, dark night closes in on him, and he pulls his robes a little closer to his body, adjusts his headgear, looks heavenward at the billions of stars, and says with total confidence, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." He is looking over God's vast creation. And yet, as profound as it seems, the seemingly small, insignificant person is taken up with the fact that the creator of heaven and earth is in fact his shepherd. The words of Psalm 8 come to mind. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? We, like David, seem so insignificant. In fact, the psalmist in Psalm 103 says that we are as dust, and as far as man is concerned, our days, they're just as grass and the flowers of the field. Before you know it, we have come and we have gone. We have departed. Yes, he wants to be our shepherd. Will I let him be my shepherd? Tonight, I want to look at 8 separate headings, all beginning with the letter P. And I'm pretty sure that I'm not going to be able to get through them. But 8 separate headings in this Psalm 23, starting with the letter P. The first one that I thought about was the placement of this psalm. Excuse me, there's an interesting connection between Psalm 23 and those preceding it and following it. Psalm 22 takes us back to Christ in the past, in which the shepherd died for the sheep. Beautiful psalm. Psalm 23, Christ is seen as caring for the sheep in the present. That's the Christ of today. Psalm 24, he is shown as getting his future reward for all that he has wrought. The Christ in the future that is forever victorious. I've already talked a little bit about possession. David expressing how that the Lord was his shepherd. But the second P in my list is possession. My shepherd, as in verse 1. The psalmist rejoiced to say, the Lord is my shepherd, and in doing so implies that I am his sheep. This is a very important point. We can't see the Lord as our shepherd if we don't see ourselves as sheep. Philip Keller, author of the book A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, said the following: it is no mere whim on God's part to call us sheep. Our behavior patterns and life habits are so much like that of sheep, it is well nigh embarrassing. I would be remiss if I did not mention how personal this psalm is. Throughout the psalm, you will read the word my 5 times, I 4 times, me 7 times. The usage of personal pronouns is incredible. It reinforces the idea of possession. Whose shepherd is it? It's my shepherd. As a child of God, we can embrace the psalm as ours. It was written for us. We can take up the words of Psalm 100, verse 3, and say, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. By the grace of God, we have been brought into his fold. Next one I want to look at is position. I'm thinking of the verse, it says, he maketh me to lie down beside still waters. Note the two pronouns preceding the two verbs. He makes me. He leads me. Who is the active one? The Lord is. The sheep's job, our job, is to keep our eyes on the shepherd. What happens when we do this? Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you." Arthur Hayes Sulzberger was the publisher of the New York Times during the Second World War. Because of the world conflict, he found it almost impossible to sleep. I find that so interesting, especially after what Richard read us this evening. The number of souls that have been murdered in the war in the Ukraine. Number of soldiers that have lost their lives. Nothing has changed since World War II. And so this dear man, he found it because of his position, that he couldn't sleep. He was never able to banish worries from his mind until he adopted as his motto just 5 words. "One step, enough for me." Taken from the hymn, "Lead Kindly Light." The hymn reads, "Lead kindly light, keep thou my feet, I do not ask to see the distant scene, one step, enough for me." Just one step. I found it interesting as I looked into the scriptures that the word "step" is not actually in the King James Version of the Bible. But here's a couple of verses with the word "steps." Psalm 37:23, so well known to us. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Just down the chapter in verse 31, "The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide." We don't know what will happen tomorrow. Perhaps we're not even able to sleep tonight. We're not going to lie down beside the still waters. But we need to know that the one who will lead us, we will find grace to help in time of need. That grace is available for us as we need it. The next P that I want to look at is in the word "promise." A promise made is a promise kept. How important is that? A promise made is a promise kept. Thinking of verse 3, "He restoreth my soul." There are times in our lives that we need restoration. David, the author of this psalm, knew what it was to be cast down and feel dejected, sad, or depressed. Is this possible? That we who know so well the love of God and grace of God feel distressed at times? To have the same feeling as David did? Yes. If we're honest and forthcoming, each of us have felt like that. Psalm 42:11, another verse about David where he cries out, "Why? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." That blessed hope to cry out, to know when you are cast down that God is there, the God of our salvation. It is a serious situation when sheep are cast down. This is a sheep that is on their back, They can't get up onto their feet. They can't turn over, no matter how hard they try. And it is imperative that the shepherd come alongside quickly and get the animal standing. If it's left in that state, it can eventually die. I see the love of a shepherd. I see the love of a shepherd for that individual sheep, for in fact the entire flock, as it would come close to that sheep that was cast down. David Roper, in his book on Psalm 23, wrote, "Good shepherds don't look down on lost sheep. They look for them. No sheep would ever be aware of how intently the shepherd is watching over them." That statement would be applicable to us. His eye is on the sparrow. It knows when the sparrow falls. How much more intently is the shepherd keeping his eye on us? Our God does not have a condescending attitude towards us. There would never be that statement, "Oh, it's you again." Cast down, distressed, feeling lost and helpless. No, not at all. The Lord is looking out for us. He wants us to be restored. He wants us to be brought back into that right relationship with Him. God is always in the business of building and maintaining relationships. Everyone has value to Him. Think of the story of the prodigal son. The father each day waiting on the road, searching for the return of the son. The incredible dedication of that father each day to look off into the distance, waiting, praying, hoping that the son would return. Our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Shepherd, longs for us to return to Him, to be restored and in the right standing with Him. Our restoration comes by getting on and staying on the right paths, the paths of righteousness. He wants to lead us, not push us, gently leading one day at a time. Psalm 5:8 says, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." The next one I want to look at is verse 4, progress. "Yea, though I walk through the valley." We find ourselves at the midpoint of the psalm. We are on the move. We are progressing through life and all that it brings. The language of this psalm overall is extremely positive. C.W. Slemming, in his writing, points out in this psalm that there are actually two negatives. The first one is in verse 1, "I shall not want." The second one in this verse, "I will fear no evil." The wonderful thing about these two negatives is neither one of them is detrimental to the child of God. Isn't that the way negatives are in our life? They're negative. They're detrimental. These two negatives are not detrimental to the child of God. Remember who the shepherd is? Who is the shepherd? Needs are met. Promises made. Our promises kept. As the seasons change and the need to find different sources of food and water, it is necessary for shepherds to move their flocks. We are always on the move, and we move through good and bad days. How do I make progress? How do I get through the valleys that are deep and dark? How do I eliminate fear? I need the rod and staff of God. The rod is a picture of correction. The shepherd would use this to correct and guide the flock. And there are times when we need correction. The staff is a long and steady, sturdy stick with a hook at one end, used by the shepherd to manage and sometimes catch sheep, and at times to protect the sheep against predators. It's used to steady the shepherd. Find it interesting that there's two tools, if you will, for the shepherd. The rod could cause danger, hurt, could kill something. It's a tool of force. The staff is something more gentle. Throughout our lives, we need correction. We need the rod. But we need comfort. We need the staff. We need to be steadied in our walk, just like the shepherd. We need to keep on the paths of righteousness by turning to the scriptures. Why is that? The hymn writer has written, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." When we think of correction, it is good to consider 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We need a little comfort. Matthew 28:20, "And lo, I am with you alway, even until the end of the world." A verse I mentioned at the beginning, Isaiah 40, verse 11, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that are young." Psalm 56, verse 3, "When I am afraid, when I have fear, I will put my trust in you." Our time is pretty well gone, but if I was to move down the list, the next one would be provision. Verse 5, "Thou preparest a table for me." Much could be said about that. The next one, the prospect, goodness and mercy. The last one that I would have spoken about is the person. Throughout Psalm 23, we have the person of the Lord Jesus. Maybe I'll just touch on that. If we were to think of this as a set of columns, our wants, Psalm 23 and the verses of it, and the Lord Jesus, we could go down the list and we would think of in verse 2, how we want rest. Matthew 11 and 28 would tell us all about that, how the Lord provides rest. How we want to drink, as in verse 2 of this psalm. And John 7 and 37 would tell us about that. As we go down the list further, there's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. There's guidance. That's 3 and 4. Verses 4 would talk about companionship and comfort. Book of Matthew and John tells us about that. Verse 5, there's food and joy. John 6 and 15, it tells us how Christ provides that. Let's look at the last one, though. Verse 6 tells us about that eternal dwelling. The eternal dwelling place. I read a very interesting statement this afternoon Every believer has an eternal address. The Father's house. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord has promised to be with us. And we're only going to be in one house when we leave this scene. The address will never change. We'll never downsize. We'll never have to go up either. We won't need a bigger place. Believer in Jesus Christ, the surely goodness and mercy will follow me. And we're going to end up, when the Lord comes, or when we leave this scene, in the Father's house. Isn't it wonderful to think that each one who trusts Christ has an eternal address? The Father's house. It won't be long. Norman Stewart, a dear believer in the assembly, pretty well every Thursday night at the prayer meeting would say, "He that shall come will come and will not tarry." Hold on, believer. Walk with the shepherd. Enjoy the shepherd. We're going to be in the Father's house. Let's close in prayer.